You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 491, The Brigadoon Syndrome. And welcome to episode 491 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am home lad.
Yay, we're being home.
We've been visiting the in-laws, and we are finally home. And home is a good thing.
Indeed.
Home is a good thing. And we are back, and so I'm kind of shaking the dust off all of the equipment and also the gear that I use to record stuff. Oh, hey! Yeah.
Find out Computo has been messing around with your stuff?
I don't think he's talking about Computo.
Yeah, I know.
It's got some other dust to shake off other things.
Hey, now. Let's not go there. All right, so...
But why not?
But in my travels, I did manage to pick up an early issue of Superboy. Well, I say early. I mean, it was issue 99. So 99 of this particular series. So
the original series?
The original series, yes. And it's fantastic. It's just glorious. Multiple stories in the book, the whole bit. As it should be. And so on the cover of this one is the Kryptonite Kid, which, of course, is the adventures of the Kryptonite Man when he was a kid. And it says, "See, Superboy, everything my dog and I touch turns into Kryptonite, the one substance that can destroy you." A lot of exposition on this cover. Take a drink.
Totally. Take a drink.
"Crawl, plead for mercy, and I may decide to let you and your pet live. Pain unbearable. Must I beg like a coward to save Crypto and myself?"
Yes.
And the answer is yes. Yes, you must.
Yes, of course.
But it contains stories like the man who owned Superboy's costume. So Superboy had to license it to wear it.
Wouldn't that be Pa Kent?
Yeah, right. The Doom. Yeah, because that would
be the dude who must abide.
Because that's exactly how they wrote in comics in 1962.
You know it. Right.
Yeah. The Doom that destroyed Clark Kent.
Doom!
And, of course, the Kryptonite Kid. Oh, yes. And, just like the stuff I used to read in the Digest. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Anyway, so that's me. Over to you, sir.
Hi, everybody. I am Darren Awell, and I am... This morning is probably going to suck, because as you're listening to this, we have gone forward an hour, and I stayed up way too late last night. So, yeah, I'm probably going to be a driving zombie in the morning, so I'm hoping to get up a little earlier, believe it or not, to meet get past the other people who are going to be groggy in the morning to get to the office before... road shenanigans commence. At least that's my plan. We'll see how it goes. But
Road shenanigans.
It's so actually one of those things where it's like the day after you go forward is one of the days that they have the most car wrecks.
Really?
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
It does, doesn't it? So I'm hoping to leave about half an hour early.
So you're a spring forward lad then today.
I did not spring, nor did I go forward, sir. I mean, I did, but you can't describe my behavior by either of those words, to be honest.
That's fair.
There was no springing, there was no forwarding.
Exactly.
Although I did decide on a cosplay for Dragon Con. I'm going to be Michael from The Good Place.
Very nice.
So I basically did that first season this weekend on Netflix.
Oh,
highly suggest it if those of you out there have not seen it.
It's a fantastic show, and as great as the first season was, the second season, I would even dare to say, a little bit better. And that's saying something.
Without revealing anything about the show, had you seen the series before, or were you brand new to it?
That was brand new.
Nice.
Brand new to it. And of course, that season finale.
Season two is just as good.
Excellent. But if you haven't seen it, go see it. It's you can do it in an afternoon. They're 22-minute episodes, so easy peasy.
And they're short seasons. Like it's all all killer, no filler.
It's like 14 episodes or something.
Yeah,
mm-hmm, something like that. Nice. Not a lot.
You can binge the whole season in an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Fantastic. All right.
I guess it's my turn.
It is your turn. Yep. Yes,
it is.
So I am Michael Grabois, and I am new job lad. Finally,
yay!
It will have been 2 years, almost to the day, since I got laid off from the oil and gas industry, which I never really wanted to be in the first place. I always wanted to be a lumberjack.
That's okay.
But that's okay.
Take a drink, kids. Take a drink.
But so I got a new job at a NASA contractor, so I'm back in the space program.
Nice.
For the first time since 2011, when the space shuttle program ended.
Oh, sweet! Congratulations.
That's fantastic news.
Congrats.
So yeah, I'm a little excited about that.
Oh, for sure. That's fantastic.
But the downside is that means that I can't stay up till 4 in the morning every night and wake up at 11 a.m.
No?
No. No, you really can't.
The pesky job commute and, you know, the rules about getting there on time and things like that.
Fussy.
Yeah.
You got to get used to that again. You can't, like, just hang out in your PJs all day.
Some sacrifices will have to be made.
Indeed.
All right. Well, why don't we get into this one? Boy, do we have an episode that I'm glad the three of us didn't, Travis included, so the four of us didn't have to do it during February because, wow, would that have been inappropriate?
This one's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, but we will get to that. But first, why don't we take a look at this week in Legion history?
All right. This week in Legion history, 50 years ago this week, March 14th, 1968, the Legion finally got themselves an origin.
Oh.
Superboy 147 came out, and it was only 10 years after their first appearance that the group finally got an origin.
Wow.
Didn't take that long.
Something to make us all feel old. Legion number 300 came out 35 years ago this week.
Damn.
March 17th, 1983.
Wow, that's cold. That's
so wrong.
Wow.
Over wrong.
Yep. 25 years ago, Legionnaires number 2 and Valor number 7.
If possible, that makes me feel a bit older. Because that one, at least I was an adult. Wow.
20 years ago, March 11th, 1998, was Legionnaires number 60. And this is Membership Madness. Two new members join the team. They are Karate Kid and Kid Quantum.
Mm-hmm.
Two members leave. The battle for Xanthu reaches ahead as the Kuns mean to destroy everything in sight with a Legion right in their path.
Wow.
And so that was 20 years ago. 10 years ago, we were in Countdown. Mon-El was appearing in Superman. The animated series episode 10... called Trials, aired, and the Legion of Superheroes in the 31st Century, number 12, the tie-in comic, all this week in 2008.
Wow, what a difference a decade makes, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then 955 years from now, in the 5 years later timeline, March 11th, 2973, Glorith becomes Empress of Baldur after the death of Emperor Nendez the 12th, who she married 17 days earlier.
Ah, see? Oh, man. That, if, he needed
That's a, convenient,
he
isn't
needed
it?
Him a prenup.
Wow. And so that is this week in future and past Legion history.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, some of those ones, like, you know, the I think the Legionnaires and Valor number 7 being 25 years ago. Damn. That's all I can say. Damn. Wow.
Well, wow. Plus the Legion 300 being 35 years ago.
Yeah, but that I can at least justify in my mind because it's like, yeah, but I was, you know, 13. But when I think of the other ones where it's like, I was 23. I was an adult. that's the one that really gets me.
I was already in college. I was already in college when 300 came out.
Ah, yeah, there you go. Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, so... but several years before all of that, in July of 1980, we got the Legion of Superheroes, issue number 265.
Mm-hmm.
Another cover by Dick Giordano. And I like that he was kind of just doing the you know, initials being kind of worked into the page as his signature at this point. So we have Shadowlass, Dawnstar, and Tyrock jumping into this time warp as Saturn Girl and Wildfire come dashing in to help. And Lightning Lad is kind of giving them side eye, saying, Shadowlass, Dawnstar, if you follow Tyrock into the space time warp, you'll never be able to return.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Extra in this issue, a complete 28-page bonus Superman story. We're not going to go through all
we're
of
not,
that
We're not
story.
Doing that one. Yeah, no. Sorry.
No.
Is that the Superman TRS-80?
It is indeed. I feel like we did it already, so anyway.
Don't worry, Ready Player One's coming out soon. You'll be able to see a TRS-80, I'm sure.
There we have it. There we have it. I've been reading the book. I'm quite enjoying it.
It is. I like that book. It is nostalgia porn, but if you take it for what it is, then, you know, it's good. If you're not expecting, like, Asimov, then you won't be disappointed.
Not at all. Yeah, exactly. So, you know. Exactly. Yeah, quite enjoying it.
And that was a high praise, wasn't it?
High praise.
High praise.
All right, so roll call, Tyrock, Shadowlass, Dawnstar. So we start on the page where they're in this warp as they ended up last month, or last week for the rest of you.
Yes.
No, I mean the
Willy Wobbly.
Yeah,
Timey-wimey,
exactly. And so he says, Dawnstar, Shadowlass, I told you to leave, but now it's too late. The process has begun. And Shadowlass says, I don't understand, Tyrock. What's begun? The answer is the Brigadoon Syndrome.
Now, before we go further,
yeah,
we must admit that these are three of the best boots the Legionnaires have ever worn before.
Oh, my God. You're right.
You got Dawnstar's fringe boots. You got the pixie boots for Tyrock. And you have the dragon-ish boots on Shady.
You're right. There is some fabulous footwear going on.
There is fabulous footwear going on in this episode, I'm just saying.
So this one is... sorry, go ahead.
So this one came out in spring of 1980. I was almost 14 years old, and I will admit I had never heard of Brigadoon before this issue, and I had no idea what it meant, why that was used as a title, since the word Brigadoon never appears anywhere else in the story.
Right.
I don't think
And
so obviously it was aimed above my head, and we may need to explain it for some of our younger listeners.
You know what? And that's a good idea.
Explain it now or at the end of the end of the episode.
I think now's as good a time as any. So so Brigadoon comes from a musical of the same name.
Brigadoon.
Yeah. So it's Lerner and Lowe. You may or may not have heard of any of the any of the songs from it, but the big one is Almost Like Being in Love. And so the whole idea of this is this village that these two guys from New York, they travel out to the Scottish Highlands on a game hunting vacation, and they get lost. And they hear music coming from a nearby village that doesn't show up on any of the maps. Hello? You guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we're here.
All right. I'm just getting weird sounds. The village does not appear on the map, and they go over there so they can get directions back to their inn, and there's this fair going on, and everyone's dressed in traditional Scottish tartan and everything, and they get told that and so they go in and they said, "Hey, so where are we?" And this guy says that they're in Brigadoon, and so they get invited out. They get invited for dinner and everything, and you know, all sorts of things going on. And there's going to be this wedding, there's a lot of characters, and the synopsis I'm reading is. Yeah, it's kind of all over the place. It's been a while since I saw the movie. I've never seen the musical, but so there's this whole miracle about Brigadoon, and what it is to protect Brigadoon from being changed by the outside world. 200 years ago, the local minister prayed to have Brigadoon disappear, and that it could only reappear one day every 100 years. So the citizens of Brigadoon are forbidden to leave the town or it'll disappear forever. And so Tommy asks, you know, if one of the guys asks if he could be permitted to stay. And he's told, you know, a stranger can stay if he loves someone here. Not just Brigadoon, mind you, but someone in Brigadoon enough to want to give up everything and stay with that one person. Which is how it should be, because after all that, if you love someone deeply, anything is possible. And there's the song. So there's some anguish over this wedding, and one of the guys threatens that he's going to leave the town, which of course would make it disappear forever, right? So all kinds of stuff happens, but the bottom line is it's this place that basically disappears and only shows up once every 100 years. And that kind of ties into what's happening with Tyrock.
So can I explain it for everybody else?
Yes.
Lost.
Fair enough.
Are you happy?
There we go. All right.
That's the basic premise, kids. Lost.
Is there a smoke monster?
There's no airplane.
Is there a smoke monster?
There's no hatches.
Is there I don't know.
Spoilers anyway. For Lost. There's no one playing chess.
Is the boat Pennies?
The boat is never Pennies.
Never Pennies, no matter never which story. Never Pennies boat. All right. So this one's brought to us by Jerry Conway, who did the plot, and J.M. DeMatteis, who did the script. And Jimmy Janes and Dave Hunt are the artists. Milt Snappin's the letterer. Gene D'Angelo is the colorist. And Jack C. Harris is the editor. So you can see they were kind of laying the groundwork because DeMatteis was kind of the go-to guy when Conway wasn't writing an issue, and which brought us such greatness.
Hey, we're gonna write Tyrock off. Here, have the other guy do it.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to be the one who does it. All right. So, mere minutes ago, they came to the isolated island of Marzal in search of their fellow legionnaire, Tyrock. But it only takes minutes for a world to go mad. And so what was happening was basically Marzal disappeared. So where is it? And so Tyrock says, "Oh, no, it's happened again, and it's my fault." And they say, once more, you speak as if your people expected this event, Tyrock. And he doesn't say anything. But as they fly across the sky, which is kind of weird, right? And basically, the island, it is literally like plucked out of the earth. You know, so it's not just the surface of it; it's, you know, all the craggy rocks beneath it. So they're taking a look at this floating island, and
which kind of looks like Wakanda, actually.
It does a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. Ooh, damn. Then maybe this is timely.
Oh, I see what you did there.
All right, so
my first clang-a-lang-a-lang is going to be about that pun. That was horrible.
Please, yeah.
this whole story is one nonstop clang-a-lang-a-lang.
Yeah, just start ringing the bell.
It is the clang-a-lang-a-langiest story that we will probably ever cover.
So true. By coincidence, I think we're not far off the anniversary of that first clang-a-lang episode. Because Scott posted a picture of the bell.
A big bell, yeah.
Yeah.
It was adorable.
Indeed. So Dawnstar gets zapped by a sunspot, and Tyrak, come on, Dawnstar is stunned. We've got to help her. Please, my friend, don't just float there. So Shady kind of stops Dawnstar from falling, and now they're both falling. And so until this moment, Tyrak has been lost inside himself, wandering the labyrinths of his own mind, but the sight of Shadowlass in grave danger draws him up out of the well of self. He knows he must act, and so he does an ew, which opens a rift in space. And an instant later, he reappears beneath his falling comrades. Then he does a ruaya, which makes them fall into a now solidified cloud.
Yeah, and neither of these yells had been seen before. His normal teleportation yell was "Oyu."
Oyu. Not "Oyu."
Boy, you better guys. You guys better stop that.
Yeah, exactly. So he says, "I apologize for my delay. Are you girls all right?" So they're fine. But they're like, "Okay, Tyrak, come on, explain." So he says, "It's the time, Dawnstar, but it's not the place." And he teleports now using a yai. In moments of crisis and confusion, all beings seek security, the comfort of home, and it is Tyrak's home that the Tense Trio surely finds himself. So he says, "I'm trying to make this as painless as I can, Dawnstar. Please don't make it any more difficult." And she says, "Save your refreshments, Tyrak. I will only be placated by answers." And say, "What is it, Tyrak? Why are you so upset? You know that there's always hope. The Legion can handle any danger that's thrown at it." And he says, "Oh, if only this were some simple cosmic danger, Tasmia. This is something far more, you see. You two are now trapped in Marzal for the rest of your lives."
Dun, dun, dun.
Say what? So,
what are you talking about, Tyrak?
Shut your mouth.
Clang-a-lang-a-lang. No more cryptic comments and no more sorrowful glances. I want to know what's going on here, and I want to know now. You know, it just as I'm looking at this, it just occurred to me that Tyrak spent more was around in more issues of Legion Lost than he was in the Legion of Super
Heroes.
It just occurred to me, and I just wanted.
And then 5 years later, too. So
yeah. Yeah, he says, "No, I've held back for too long. But to best understand the here and now, we must go back some 1,400 years to a time when men crossed Earth's oceans in great sailing ships." So,
here we go, kids.
Yeah, it was a time when mankind's passions were unbridled, when the equality you all take for granted was rare. It was a rare and precious commodity in an age when the black man lived in a jungle, and the white man plundered that jungle and took my people away as slaves. Maybe hard for you to understand such cruelty, but believe me, it existed. The people of ancient Africa were thrown like wild animals into the bellies of the great slaver ships, there to wallow in filth and disease and suffer the abuse of the white masters. Many such ships sailed the high seas, and on one such ship was my ancestor, a proud African chieftain, Stabala.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, a man who had suffered much and decided he would suffer no more. Stabala waited patiently and watched, and as they basically, this guy's wearing nice. So take the slime out of here. He ain't gonna fetch a shilling for us dead. There's no use having him clutter up the place. And so they throw this guy overboard. And they say perhaps it was the evil on that ship that brought down the storm that set it off course, or perhaps it was just fate. Whatever the case, the vessel was whipped for days on end through the heart of that unrelenting maelstrom. And I've got to say, these two panels remind me very much of Gilligan's Island.
Skipper 2.
Yeah. I swear, man, this is the devil's own tempest, but we'll beat her yet. Face it, Captain, the compass is broken. We're lost for good. And he says, I'll have no such talk aboard my ship, mister. I can handle this. I can handle anything. Do you hear me? And he backhands the guy in the face.
Ooh, I can't believe the skipper would do that. I can't believe the skipper would do that to Gilligan.
Right? I had it framed the other day. No, he would just take his hat off and hit him with that.
Gilligan!
They say, Captain, and so they've got another dead slave. And the guy says, blast, more money lost. And so the ritual was repeated, the keys withdrawn. They say, so problematic. This time the dead man was Stabala, limp, an awkward smile on his lips. He lay against the water and blood-stained deck. As the key turned, releasing him from his manacles, death had brought freedom, only his death had been greatly exaggerated. And so he jumps up and takes the keys away, says, at last, out of bondage, to be free. You jackals will never hold me again, never. And he throws one of the guys. And the guy says, I don't know what you're gibbering about, but right now you're going to die. And they say, as often happens, when one man clears the path to freedom, others soon rise up to follow the way. With Stabala leading the charge, a raging army crawled up from the entrails of the slaver ship. They used all of the vibranium, and the battle that was waged that day was ugly and brutal. For when men are treated as beasts, they soon learn to fight as beasts. It seemed the blood, not rain, flowed from the skies, and it seemed that nature herself had sided with Stabala and his people. For as he kept, as he dealt the ship's captain a telling blow, a bolt of lightning flashed down from the heavens, and down he went. So they washed ashore on this uncharted tropic isle, and
after a three-hour tour,
and it seemed like the gates of paradise had been opened to them. He says, "Look, my brothers, the gods have been good to us. They brought us to a safe haven, to a new home." And you see the ship burning in the background. He says, "And let no man or white devils try to wrest it from us." They were a tribe reunited, a people rejoicing, and for Stabala the joy was manyfold, for by his side was his woman, Nahura.
Yeah.
Who is his lieutenant?
Yeah, in a red outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm giving you Roddenberry side eye at this point.
Together, he knew they would raise many fine sons and daughters, and they would teach them what it meant to be free and to love. And then a startled voice cried out, and they said, "Oh, look, as the storm returned." And the tribe fell to its knees. They felt no fear, only praise for the gods who had taken them to a realm where the white devils could never reach them. And so they built sturdy little huts, and soon a wall sprung up around the huts, and the tiny village grew into a fort. And as the years passed, new generations arose. The fort became an ever-growing town, a place of happiness, and the people called it Marzal, meaning New World.
I don't know why they had to. Why did they have to build a fort if they're the only ones on the island?
Yeah.
There's a good question.
Yeah.
In case the white devil should find them.
Yeah.
Ever.
Okay. Yeah. So Marzal.
I'm guessing.
Grew as the go ahead.
Yeah. But. So this next page, I'm also wondering how they kept up with 20th century or 17th, 18th, and 19th century technology
and fashions.
and fashions with just the stuff they had on the island and no contact with the outside world. But that's just me.
Yep. Yes, so it grew as the outer world grew, discovering the ways of civilization, of hard work, of peace and prosperity. But then, some 200 years after Stabala and his tribe set foot on the island, something strange happened. And there's a couple that are talking about going to the theater, and then there is a change in the sky that suddenly, you know, they, basically instead of that crazy sky, looks back to normal. And he says, well, my people soon realized was that for a period of 3 decades, every 200 years, Marzal appears in the real world, only to vanish again, like the legendary Scottish town of Brigadoon.
You get the feeling that one of them saw Brigadoon and they're like, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to get rid of this problem.
Yeah,
now, had him all the way
I'm
off.
I'm trying to remember. Had any of this been explained about Marzal before?
No, nope. This is the first time we're getting it. Yeah.
Okay. The only thing we knew is that Tyrok came from an island of all black people.
Klang-a-lang-a-lang.
Yeah.
Because we had never seen black people in the 30th the century before. And so at
Klang-a-lang-a-lang.
So at first it was like, well, did all the black people move to Marzal? And, well, now we're getting the real true story behind what's going on at Marzal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clang.
So,
bang-a-lang.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, you can clang that one really loud.
Yeah. So then, so he says, as for me, my story began not long ago, before Marzal's latest reemergence, when the thing from the other outer dimension... when a thing from the outer dimensional sky came swooping into a Marzalian schoolyard. And it turns out, Tyrok used to wear this outfit to school. He says, I reacted instinctively, unleashing a still unexplained power that I didn't know I possessed.
He's a mutant.
Oh, yeah. As I grew older, I learned to master my sonic scream, to use it in ways I'd never dreamed would be possible. I became Marzal's superhero. It was a trust I took very seriously and still do to this day. And he says, then the fateful hour struck and all of Marzal gathered together to watch as the awesome transformation we'd all heard so much about occurred before our wondering eyes. Marzal had once again returned to the real world, the world we slowly began to love. And I knew that I would somehow find myself a part of that world thanks to the Legion. And I did. So they say, surely it hasn't been 30 years since Marzal appeared back in our world. Why should it have disappeared again? And he says, I have a theory, and it's not a pleasant one. I think that I'm responsible for this new disaster. My shouts must draw energy from somewhere, and I think it's the space-time barrier that separates Marzal's universe from yours. Oh, that's perfect. Every time he uses his power, it makes his home go away. So we can't
so
use him anymore.
Psycho, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. He says, by using my powers on Earth, I must have weakened the forces that were holding Marzal in the Earth dimension and prematurely returned my people to exile. So, well, that's why you were so distraught earlier. And he says, I don't think I can ever return to Earth now. If I did, I might doom my race to life in this dimension for all time.
Dun, dun, dun.
And they say, wait a second. If you're shouting, weakens the barrier between Marzal and Earth, and maybe your sonic scream can create an opening between the universes, and we can all escape. And he says, we love the Earth, but my people would never think of leaving Marzal. This is their home. It's everything they hold dear, everything. To give this up would be like sacrificing life itself with all its layers of meaning. Perhaps, just perhaps, I can create a doorway for you two, tear a hole in the interdimensional fabric. And then if Dawnstar can use her super tracking powers to lead you back to Earth, you'll be home free. Yes, that's it. That's got to be it. So he figures
that's
out...
That's the ticket?
Yeah, he figures out a scream, and it's, aye! And the three extraordinary youths are instantaneously transported to the pulsing light-dappled barrier at the edge of the Marzal universe. You did it. That was the simple part, Tasmia. And then you say, Tyrok, why are you hesitating? You know there's no time to waste. He says, this shout will take all I've got. What if I fail? What if I can't get you? And they say, you can do it, Tyrok. I know you can. Have faith. Have hope. And he thinks of his ancestor Stabala, of the faith and hope that drove him on. Yes, he realizes that he can surmount any barrier, vault any wall, if he has the will. And he goes, E-I-E. And the very foundations of reality seem to shake as Dawnstar and Shadowlass plunge through the gaping egress that Tyrok's cry has created. They turn for one last glimpse of their friend as the orifice rapidly reseals itself. There is a sadness in that black face and pride. Tarek, remember, there's always hope. There's always a... What? He's gone. And they say, well, it's up to you now, Dawnstar. And she says, I can sense the way home already, even through all this Kirby crackle that's around us. In a couple of minutes, a matter of minutes, we'll be side by side with our comrades. And Wildfire says, I don't know about you folks, but I'm getting a little worried about Dawnstar and Shadowlass. And Saturn Girl and Lightning Lad say, yeah, no, I wouldn't worry too much, Wildfire. Yes, those are two ladies who can take care of themselves. And they appear back. Shady says, you were marvelous, Dawnstar. You navigated through that dimensional gap like an angel. And she says, but it was Tyrok who made the journey possible. And they say, say, where is Tyrok? He's lost in a land of many wonders, and he may be lost to us forever. Although somehow, I think we'll be seeing him again.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, yeah. So, and that five is the years end as later. We see him in the clouds.
Oh, and they'll be seeing him a lot sooner than anybody thinks.
Yes.
Because he shows up during the Secrets of the Legion miniseries.
Yeah. And then gets promptly put out of phase again, permanently.
Right.
Quote, unquote.
Until somebody else thinks of how to use them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys notice that there were no Caucasian Legionnaires until the very last page?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
That was part of the point of when Shady got Dawnstar to go with her to go find Tyrok was, oh, yeah, and we have a special bond. It's because I'm not white.
Yeah.
That was the implication first issue together. It was Brainy, Karate Kid, and Shady who were like, no, Legionnaires are white. Mm-hmm. So.
And Chameleon Boy.
And Cam, yeah.
Because no matter whether we're yellow, green, blue, or orange, we're all people. We're all brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
It's very, very true. It's a shame most people don't realize that.
Indeed.
And so the next issue will be on sale the third week in May 1980.
Exactly. Crazy. So, yeah, we'll be getting to that one next week, and it's... I'm just, you know, I gotta say, like, some of these are just, they just kill me. It was Tyrok's origin was always problematic.
Yep.
You know, even for the time. And you know, it was the, why haven't we shown black characters? Oh, we can explain that. Let's just say we put them on an island.
That was even more racist.
Exactly. It just got worse.
We didn't draw any black characters in the background of our comics until recently.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, there was they were kind of going in a little dicey as it was.
It sounded like a good idea at the time.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah. Absolutely. But wow, just wow. But that's okay, because next month we have Bouncing Boy and Duo Damsel coming back. So they will fill the void left by Tyrok, apparently.
For how long,
indeed?
Until Levitz takes over. That's how long, kids.
And that, like, the first thing he does is say, let's get rid of that guy.
Yep.
And interestingly, I mean, yes, we did see him again in 5 years later. But it wasn't until Levitz came back with in 2008, 2009. When did volume
He was on, Tyrek was on a cover in his classic outfit in the Three Boot early on.
Well, that doesn't count, because that was
a wink and nod to the reader. That's what that was.
Yeah. I remember me being pissed off about that one, because I thought they were really coming back.
Mm.
But no.
Nope. And isn't Tyrek one of the characters who did not make it into Crisis?
No, he survived Crisis.
Is he in crisis somewhere?
No, okay, no, but what Darren's saying is, did he show up?
Oh, appearing in crisis. Yeah. That is a good question. I'd have to look that up.
Yep. I bet you he's not in that book at all. Yeah. Like the Deadly Generis are not in that book. I bet you Tyrock's not in that book.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But then, of course, we would see him show up in, so it was 2010.
Okay. Where he comes back officially as without the crazy white chains Peter Pan outfit and in a more stylized superhero getup at this point.
Yeah, exactly. How many issues were there of that 2010 series?
We'll look it up.
I'm not sure. Is this the one before or after Flashpoint?
Before. Just before.
I think maybe
that was
15 or 16?
16 issues.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Plus the Adventure Comics stuff.
July 2010 to October 2011.
There we go. Yeah, so he did bring him back then.
Mm-hmm. I think in 5 years later they mentioned that Marzal had been, it came out of phase and the Dominators destroyed it or something.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Which is why he was now officially part of Earth Now and helping Jacques with the resistance. So.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right then. So,
Alas, Tyrock, we barely knew you.
Yeah, exactly. And the way you were written at the time, it's perhaps for the best. I mean, you know, Tyrock would have been interesting in if they had done something decent with them in Legion Lost. Yeah, you know, if hadn't been such a misbegotten mess. Where he was reduced to giving us directions.
Basically.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's wrap this one up then.
Cool beans.
Comments, as always, are welcome to Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. In addition to all those things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way into the time bubble, and we go out of phase only for a week. And we will see you all next week.
Oi, you!